Psalms, chapter number 7. Psalms, chapter 7. And thank you so much for that song. We appreciate that. Psalms, chapter 7 tonight. And we are working our way just through the book of Psalms. And we've been identifying each evening one word that kind of depicts for us what the individual chapter is and what the individual chapter is about. So we come tonight to Psalms chapter 7, and this is the word we picked for tonight. The word fight. Fight. Anybody ever been in a fight? Let me see. Yeah? Okay, all over the room. All right, you can put your hands back down. We don't need any breaking out right now. But the word is fight. Life is a fight. I remember when Amanda and I were engaged. We fought about a lot of things when we were engaged. And we fought, like, kind of often about some of the most silly things, you know? And so it bothered me, so I went and I talked to one of my mentors, and I just said, do you really think that it's a wise thing for me to marry somebody who I fight with so often? And I'll never forget his answer. He said, David, you're going to fight with someone for the rest of your life. The question is, do you want it to be Amanda? And I said, well, yes. Yeah, that's exactly who I want to fight with for the rest of my life. And he said, well, then the only other question is, how will you fight? Like, so you will fight with someone, but how will you fight? And so really from there, Amanda and I really kind of laid down some like rules. Like if we're going to fight, since we are going to fight, we're both have like that A-plus personality, you know, so neither one of us really like to give in. So if we're going to fight, here are the rules and we laid down these rules. So here's how we're going to do this moving forward, right? So we're screaming and yelling, never accomplish anything. So when we fight, there's no screaming and there's no yelling. That's out the door. If you're going to scream or yell, then there's no fight. There's no fighting or arguing or discussing that's going to take place. There's no physical, mental, or verbal abuse, right? That's not allowed. You can't hit. You can't push. You can't demean. You can't talk down about. You can't, you know, make fun of me and you know my ears or the hair. You know, like that's all out. You can't no abuse, no making fun of. Right? So we laid down some rules. Amanda's rule that she implemented was the 30-second hug. The 30-second hug. She said, before we fight, before we get anywhere, we have to hug for 30 seconds. No talking, no discussing. You just walk in, and she just, and so whenever it starts escalating, like, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to do. This is what I think. This is what I think. She just comes over, and she puts this hug on me, right? And so I'm like, okay, 30 seconds. Come on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. She's like, if you keep counting, I'm going to keep hugging. 9, 10. 30 seconds is up. Let's get back to it, you know? So we implemented these rules. Like, here, never going to fight in front of the children. Here are all these rules, right? So life is a fight. Love is a fight. There are fights. We have fights. We have disagreements. We have these things. The question is, who are you going to fight with, right? Who is it going to be with? Well, I can tell you, after 17 years of marriage to that girl back there, she's sitting on the third row from the back. I'm not for sure why she's backsliding tonight. But after 17 years of marriage, she's worth the fight, man. She is worth the fight. So here's the question, or here's the word. Fight. David in Psalm chapter 7 is in a fight. He is in a fight with a man that is simply notated in the subscript. Okay, look at not verse number 1 and not chapter 7, right? Chapter 7 is the big number. Verse number 1, that little number outside. So in between there's a subscript. It's like a title. So this would be like a chapter title, if you will. And in the chapter title, it says who David is fighting with. At the very end of this, he says, this is about, maybe he says something about, David sings this or writes this concerning the words of Cush the Benjaminite. Right, so this is about a man who is fighting against David, who is oppressing David. This is what you know. David is writing this psalm or this prayer about that man because that man and David are in this fight. Now, we don't know a lot about Cush, but what we do know a couple things, and we only know a couple things basically based out of this chapter here. Right? We know that Cush has made allegations against David. This is verse number 3. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there be iniquity in my hands, look at verse 4. If I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me. So obviously at some point Cush has made these allegations against David, saying David's done this, David's done that, David said this, David's went here. And David's basically saying, I don't know if these allegations are true or not. I don't know if I did or didn't do that or not. But if I have done these things, right? David also, from the introduction here, he lets us know that Cush is like the leader. David is the king, but Cush is the leader, right? There are all these people. Verse number 4, he says that there's nobody who can deliver him. There's nobody that's helping him. So he's like Cush, he's rallied the troops. David's the king, but Cush is the leader, right? That's how David feels. He says in verse number 2 that he feels like he's about to be ripped apart. He says, these guys aren't physically touching me, but if they could touch me, it would be like lions devouring meat. That's verse number 2. Lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it into pieces while there is none to deliver me. David is in the middle of the fight. And from that point, verse 1, really, to verse 5, from that point, David lays out how it is that he is going to pursue this relationship with Cush. And I think from what David prays here in Psalms 7, I think there are a lot of helpful reminders for us tonight. So this is what I want you to do. This is going to be just super practical and super applicable. Okay, so that's what I like as I kind of wrote this. That's what I thought. How can we be most helpful in this passage? And so that's what I'm trying to be from this. Like the most helpful. There's so much more. There's so many other layers that we could kind of pull out of Psalm 7. We don't have time tonight. But what I do want to do is I just want to. When you're in a fight. When you're in one of those moments where you're being pulled, whether it's with somebody in the room, whether it's the person sitting next to you, whether it's the person at the office, neighbor, whatever it is, what do we do? How do we handle those battles? What do we look to? What do we say? What do we don't say? What do we not say? Those sorts of things. So how do we do that moving forward? Okay, so a couple very simple, very easy things. Number one, remember that life is long. Remember that life is long. Look at verse number 9. Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. For the righteous God trieth hearts and reins. David says two things about this. David says, first of all, that the wickedness of the wicked does come to an end. At some point or another, the wickedness, the opposition, the fight, it will eventually end. Right, that's what he's saying. The wickedness will come to an end. And Lord, when it does, establish the just. He says, so their time and their place and their words and their accusations, it will come to an end. But when their time and their place and their words, when they come to an end, be sure that I am still established. That's what he's asking for. Establish the just. Okay, so here's this for us. The human life on average is 75 years. Like you get 75 years. Maybe if you're here, if you live that long, it only stands to reason that in that 75 years there are going to be cycles and there are going to be seasons where there are good times and where there are bad times. Where there are stressful times and when there are super successful times. When there are hard times and when there are really good times. When there are easy times. It only stands to reason. If life is 75 years, if that's what we get, then it only stands to reason that there are good seasons and bad. There are warm, and there are cold, there are rainy, there are floody, there are droughts, there are all kinds of seasons that we will experience in life. In fact, that's what Ecclesiastes chapter 3 teaches us about. David's son, Solomon, who clearly would have witnessed several of these seasons in his own father's life, he writes about that. To everything there is a season. And to every time under the sun, there's a reason, and there's a rhyme to it. There's a time to sing, there's a time to cry, there's a time to laugh, there's a time to rejoice. All the guys like this one. There's a time to dance. We all enjoy that one. All the women, there's a time to refrain from embracing. They like that one. There's all these different seasons and pluses and minuses and ups and downs, right? And it only stands to reason that that's true for us. There are seasons in our life where there are battles and there are trials, and it feels like anytime you're trying to do anything for God or for good, anytime you're trying to help a neighbor, anytime you're trying to help this brother or sister in Christ, anytime you're trying to do something, it's like uphill, uphill, uphill. But what needs to be reminded, what we need to be reminded of, is that life is long. And that since life is long, seasons come and seasons go. Since life is long, it will not always be the way it is. It will not, the battle that is in front of you is not the battle that you will always have. David is really pushing away from the table, and what he's actually saying is, he's saying, take the big picture. Look at the big scheme of life. Look at the big picture of life. Like you're getting hung up on this one season, but just step back and look at the big picture. This is hard to do sometimes. This is very difficult to do sometimes. This is especially difficult for church people to do sometimes. You'll walk through the buildings, and there'll be every carpet in the building that's perfectly clean and pristine and vacuumed. But do you know the one carpet that you'll notice? The dirty one. The bulletin. How many words in the bulletin were spelled right? How many words in the bulletin were spelled wrong? You got that answer, don't you? And this is how it is. They always print the bulletin wrong. Always? They never clean this carpet. Never? Never? Always? My mama said you shouldn't use words like always and never. She also says you shouldn't use words like ain't, but I use that one every now and then, right? This is what happens. What happens is sometimes when we're in a season of battle, when we're in a season of just upward, that everything is hard momentum and can't get anywhere, can't get any traction, especially spiritually speaking, we start to buy into the lie that the way it is the way it'll always be, and they never fix, and they always do, and this is now what we're left with through life. What's interesting about Cush the Benjaminite, what's interesting about him is after his name disappears from the subscript of chapter 7 of the book of Psalms, do you know where his name next appears in the Bible? Nowhere. Nowhere. He just disappears. He's mentioned here. David writes a psalm about him. But after this, chances are that before today, you never even heard of Cush the Benjaminite. I mean, you might have read it right there, but you probably never processed, like, this is actually who David is talking about. It just disappears right off the pages of Scripture. But guess whose name you have heard? You have heard David's name. You have read David's words. You do know the men and women who followed in the footsteps of David. And this is simply what he's saying, that here in David's time, in the middle of Psalms 17, here's this man who's causing David all this chaos, who's causing David all this headache, who's causing all these problems, who David feels like, this guy, if he could get his hands on me, he would devour me. He would rip me to pieces like I were being thrown into the lion's den. And yet, fast forward David's life, and this man is nowhere to be found. And so it is. So it is in those who fail to look at the big picture of life. Listen, take the big look at your life. Take the big look at the picture of your life. And remember that whatever fight you're in the middle of right now, life is long. And you may be in a season, but it is just that. It is just a season. Remember that life is long. Number two, remember that life is short. You go, what? You can't say that? Yeah, remember that life is short. All right, here's the bad news. Ready? We will all be dead soon. Some of you go, that's not bad news. That's not bad news. It's the best news I've heard all day. No, we will all be dead soon. soon. And guess what? When you die, you know what they'll do? They'll take your body, they'll put it in a box. They'll take that box, they'll put it in the ground. They'll shovel a bunch of dirt on top of the box that they just put in the ground. And then they will all go and eat your favorite meal while you have no part of it. Isn't that comforting? Life is short. This is what he's saying in verse 12 and verse 13. If he turn not, he's talking about God. So if God doesn't turn from his intention, guess what he will do? He will whet his sword. He hath bent his bow. He hath made it ready. He hath also prepared him instruments of death. He ordaineth his arrows against persecutors. And here's what he's saying. David is saying, we all deserve death. Who deserves death? The wicked, the sinful. Well, the wages of sin, guess what? It is death. We all deserve death. And guess what? We will all die. Life is short. And life is long. You will not always be in the season that you're in. But life is short. So live for something bigger than the right here and the right now. Live for something greater than this passing moment. See that life is just a vapor that is here for a little time and then it's gone. And ask yourself, is this the way that you want to spend the little bit of time that you have remaining? Like, is this the fight that you actually want to have? I was having a conversation about this with a church member earlier this week, and I just said, I got to the place in my life where I just said, I don't want to spend the rest of my life just fighting against. I want to fight for something. I don't want to just spend all my time with negative this and negative that and terrible this and horrible that. And I want to spend my time doing things for God and for good. I don't just want to be against. I want to be for God. I want to be for good. You got to ask yourself, life is short, and do you really want to spend the few days that you have remaining? Is this the way that you want to spend them? Is this the energy that you want to use? Do you want to use it going toward that? This is the greatest reality in life, is that we will all die. And yet, how many of us spend time thinking about the day that we die? Very few. It's the greatest reality, and yet it is the most neglected reality. It's the greatest reality, and yet it is the most neglected reality. I don't have long, so I want to love my wife. I want to serve my kids. I want to serve this church. I want to live for God and for good. I want to build lasting, eternal friendships with people. I want to do that while I can, because I will not always be able to do that. I want to tell my wife that I love her, baby. I love you. While I can, because the time is coming when I will not be able to tell her that. You know, life is long when you're in the middle of a fight. Remember, life is long. Remember that life is short. Remember, number three, that we will live forever. Remember that we will live forever. This is verse number 8. The Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to my integrity that is in me. David says, I have a conscience that is void before man and before God. I have a conscience that is void. I love that David doesn't hide. I love that verse 3 and verse 4. I love David doesn't go, well, I didn't do anything wrong. It's all him. David says, no, it's quite possible. I know myself. It's quite possible that I did something to offend this guy. It's quite possible that I offended him. And Lord, if I have offended him, and if I made war where there was peace, then Lord, judge me accordingly. David doesn't hide. David doesn't play the blame game. He doesn't come and stand in front of God and go, God, it's all him, it's him, it's poor me, and I never, and he always. And no, he doesn't play that game. He plays the game. If I did something that is wrong. Hey, can I help you? Can I help you with something? When you're in the middle of a fight, sometimes the best thing you could do is go, I'm sorry. Can we all say those words together? Can we all say those words together? Like a class exercise, class participation, okay? Just the two words, I'm sorry. Let's say them together. Take a deep breath before you say it. It's a while since some of you have said this, so it's going to be impressive here. Here we go. Ready? Ready? Wives, record your husbands right now. Ready? Here we go. I'm sorry. Some of you didn't participate. So you are sorry, but not the actual way. You are just sorry in general, right? I'm sorry. Look, I'm sorry I didn't understand what you were saying. I'm sorry I took it out of context. I'm sorry that I escalated it so quickly. I'm sorry. He says, David here, if I've done this, Lord, you know I did not intend to do this. You know this was not my intention. This was not my goal. But Lord, if I did, I leave that with you. David wants a conscience that is at peace with God. Do you want a conscience that is at peace with God? Do you want a clear conscience with God tonight when your head hits the pillow? And pray that prayer. Lord, if I've made war where there was peace, then, Lord, you show me. You show me. Remember that we will live forever. Next one. Remember that there are divine judgments. Remember that there are divine judgments. My favorite verse in all of this passage is verse number 10. My defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. My defense is of God. What do you have to say for you? My defense is of God. Well, what about my defense is of God? Well, you said that my defense is of God. David has a clear conscience with God, and David knows his conscience is clear with God. There is not a greater gift that you can give yourself in the middle of a fight than a clear conscience with God. I have done what I should, and I did say what I should, and I did go where I was supposed to, and my conscience is clear with God. In fact, not just that, but David is so confident that his conscience is clear and that Cush's conscience isn't, that he says this later on. This is really verse number 14, 15, and 16. Behold, he travaileth with iniquity and hath conceived mischief and brought forth falsehood. So he's talking about Cush. He's saying, this is what Cush did. He made a pit, he digged it, and is fallen into the ditch which he made. Mischief will return on his own head, and violence will fall on him. I love that. He goes, listen, my conscience is clear, but this guy who was digging a pit, hoping I would fall in it, guess what? He fell in the pit that he dug, and isn't that the way it goes? The person who goes, this guy, he's angry, guess what? He is the one who is full of anger. The person who always goes, man, my boss is so prideful and so arrogant. He doesn't see what I am. He doesn't know how much value I give. He doesn't recognize all my gifts and how talented and how much I and me. And guess what that is? That's arrogance. You be careful when you dig a pit hoping somebody else will fall in it, because you may very well be the one that falls in it. I'm not going to pull the car over. I really want to, but I'm not going to. Last one. Remember to fill your mind with God. I love what David does in this. That's where David starts. That's where David ends. That's where we start. It's where we end. Verse number one. O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. And then look at the last verse. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and I will sing praises to the name of the Lord Most High. You know what this psalm is about? This psalm is not about Cush the Benjaminite. David isn't writing this song about Cush. Cush is the reason why the psalm is being written. Cush is the one who is opposing David and beating him. But this psalm is about God. 20 plus times God's name is mentioned in the psalm. The only place Cush's name is mentioned is in the subscript. It was added later for clarification. David didn't even write his name down. It was added later for clarification. It was like, just so you know who David was talking about here. He wasn't talking about his wife. He was talking about Cush, right? This psalm isn't about Cush's song. This song is about God. David is filling and saturating his mind with the greatest reality. What is the greatest reality? The greatest reality is God. In the middle of a fight, you know who you need to turn your attention to? Not your hurt feelings. Not your defensive position. Not whether you were right or he was right or she was right, or not the yelling, not the screaming. No. You need to turn your attention to God. Yeah, I know, in thee do I put my trust. No. I'll sing your praises. And God, you alone, you are my defense. What about it? How will you fight? How will you fight? Let's stand together for prayer, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word this evening. And Father, I pray that you would, Father, write your word on our hearts and our lives. Father, I pray that we would be men and women, Father, who look to you, who fill our minds with your word and your things and your greatness. Father, I pray that you would, Father, like David, I pray